Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:10 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 26th. Today was an interesting day in markets because the S&P 500, it popped on the upside, but having spent most of the day in positive territory, it's giving up some of that advance as we close in on the end of the day. And obviously, this is an important area of potential resistance. 3,000 is a big psychological level. It's been an area of resistance on a number of occasions over the course of the last few years. It's also now coinciding with the region of the trend mean. The best case scenario when the price was at 2200 at the end of March was that it would unwind the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. It's done that. Now the question is, how much further is it going to go beyond this level? And will it be sustained by additional liquidity infusions? Or will the economy rebound back in a very robust manner in order to justify the margin or the valuation expansion that's taken place over the course of the last 3 months? One thing that we know is that the mortality rate figures for the coronavirus are becoming progressively more accurate the more data that we have. So there was the real fear back in February that the mortality rate was going to be in the order of 3-4%. But it is looking increasingly likely that it is probably going to be a tenth of that. In other words, it's probably going to be somewhere around the 4 in 1,000 level. And that's for all people, but half of deaths have been in retirement homes. If we excise the most vulnerable from the data, then it's probably more like 2 in 1,000. And the seasonal flu mortality rate is approximately 1 in 1,000. So now we are presented with increasingly, efficacious data that the coronavirus is worse than the seasonal flu by a factor of 1, a factor of 2, but not 40 times worse. And I think that is something that is going to get priced into markets, because we have had extraordinary infusions of liquidity already. And when we look at, for example, the aggregate for central bank balance sheets, it's up to $24 trillion. That's up over $4 trillion in the space of 3 months. Then when we look at the combined deficits of governments. Now, this is not an annualized figure. It tends to be more, it's not accurate all the time because not every country reports its deficit in exactly the same timing. But at present, combined deficits based upon the latest quarterly data are $1.6 trillion. I think the most important thing to bear in mind is that this is by far the biggest deficit on a combined basis when we take into account the USA and Europe and a number of other countries that we've ever seen. Well, this has been a phenomenal infusion of liquidity. We're talking about in excess of $5.5 trillion in the space of 3 months. If that can't buy you a rebound in the stock market, nothing will. But if the lockdowns are not in fact justifiable, if the medicine is in fact worse than the cure, if the cure is worse than the disease, well, then we are approaching a point which is, I think, quite similar to the Y2K question. Because back in 1999, everyone was worried about the possibility that electronics everywhere would fail. So we had interest rates lowered, we had more liquidity made available, companies were panicking to upgrade their infrastructure. That created a massive infrastructure spend, particularly for the biggest companies in the index at the time, which were companies like Cisco and Microsoft and Intel. Then we got to the white or to the year 2000. Nothing happened. It was a complete non-event. Then the Federal Reserve started raising interest rates again, and that sector crashed. Well, we're now looking at a situation where lockdowns are starting to ease. The evidence is coming forward that the massive infusions of liquidity in response to the lockdowns might have been necessary, but the lockdowns themselves probably weren't. And that the then, of course, there was the additional decision to house coronavirus patients in nursing homes. When I read that story initially, I had assumed that the nursing homes would have been vacant, but of course that was not the case. In fact, they introduced the virus into nursing homes intentionally, probably not with the direct intention of killing people, but that was certainly the effect, so that the massive surge in deaths has been in large part due to policy error. Well, this is raising some important questions because are we going to get additional liquidity infusions if economies can bounce back faster? Now, we are certainly going to have improving results from vaccine trials because there are simply so many vaccine trials that it is really quite likely that there's going to be a step change in terms of the kind of technology that is being deployed to come up with solutions. But the Nasdaq Biotech Index was in negative territory in here today. The need for lockdowns is probably going to sap some of the demand for the kinds of companies that did spectacularly well over the course of the last few months. Amazon is another one of those companies. It has pulled back for the last 3 days and had a downside key reversal from the psychological $2,500 level 3 days ago. So there are 3 sessions ago. There is the potential that this is a peak of at least near-term significance. It's also worth highlighting that the Nasdaq, having been so incredibly positive over the course of the last few months, was in negative territory in here today. Then we have the additional point that the dollar index was in negative territory as well. And I think the fact that it has been ranging in a very tight manner over the course of the last 2 months is not something that is going to last indefinitely. It is certainly pausing around this 100-point level, and 100 points has been an area of resistance for much of the last 6 years. So the big question now is whether it will continue to hold the region of the trend mean. One of the reasons why the dollar has been firm is because there was a chronic demand for dollars because of the tightening of global liquidity in response to the lockdowns. If the lockdowns are increasingly going to be a thing of the past and unlikely to be reinforced, in fact, even if we do get an additional surge in infections later in the year, which I do not believe is likely, I think it is extremely likely that we are not going to have another round of quarantines, but rather that we will have a more joined-up thinking way of dealing with outbreaks in future. And it's going to be much more akin to the kinds of policies that countries in Asia follow with trying to trace flu infections. That's particularly true in Japan. So if the dollar is weakening, there'll be less demand for US treasuries. And there is the potential here that we're going to see additional upside. This has the potential to be a base formation in the region of around 50 basis points. With the dollar easing, with less demand for US treasuries, the safe haven trade is losing some of its impetus. Gold was in negative territory in here today. Not in an especially dynamic manner, but it has failed to sustain the breakout, and that therefore suggests that we are going to come back down below the $1,700 level. The continued willingness of central banks to degrade their currencies is likely to be a significant factor. That is particularly true of China, where they have set the midpoint for the renminbi at the lowest level in quite some time. Now, that does not show up on the currency. When we look at the daily traded rate for the currency, it is not at a new low, but at the fixing, there is a clear evidence that China is willing to devalue the currency. And of course, this was on a day where the dollar was also weak. So when we look at the euro versus the renminbi, it's really quite a dynamic move. And when we take a zoom out and look at the trend overall, well, the euro has been ranging in a tight manner against the renminbi now for about 3 years. I think it is quite likely that we are going to see a break on the upside and the renminbi trading as weaker than the 8 level versus the euro. Europe in particular has had some of the most deleterious, or experienced some of the most deleterious effects from the coronavirus, with the potential that the worst really is behind us, that the liquidity that's been promised to countries like Italy and Spain will be provided, that Europe is going to increasingly get something akin to federalized debt. Those are all really quite significant bullish phenomenon. Then we have the additional point that so many of the deaths, in fact, 96% of the fatalities in Italy occurred in people with pre-existing conditions. One of the most important things, of course, is that people with pre-existing conditions cannot die twice from the coronavirus. And that is a rather grisly way of thinking about the calculus of life and death, but it is the reality. There is the potential here that the euro will continue to strengthen, not so much because the euro is suddenly strong, but rather that there is less demand for the US dollar. Now, that is equally true for the pound, and the pound was up in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. It's pushing back above the 123 level. It's broken the downward bias over the last month. I think we are now looking at the potential that it will at least get back up and test the region of the trend mean. And that should also help to support regional stock markets. And we had a significant rebound in the majority of European markets in here today. But of course, the UK and USA were both closed yesterday. And when we then think about, well, what's happening in the rest of Europe, well, Germany has popped on the upside yesterday and followed through on the upside in here today. That has now broken up and out of its most recent range. We have ranges one above another. It is rapidly unwinding its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. I think that's one of the more important characteristics here, that we're now starting to see European stock markets rallying in tandem with their currency. Until now, any kind of strength in European indices has been contingent on weakness in the euro. But today we've seen a little bit of a change starting to come through there. the potential is that Europe is going to eventually move from talking about federalism behind closed doors and talk about it in the open light, and at least have a debate about the potential and the risks and rewards that may arise from federalism. Of course, that is part of the reason why the UK has left. Now, when we look at what's going on in Asia, the Japanese have been able to contain their coronavirus outbreak. The Nikkei is now back above the 20,000 level and was in an upwards in a dynamic manner in here today. It's just about unwound all of its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but it is certainly pushing back up and into the overhead trading range. And that is, I think, one of the better signals that we've seen. And the second section index is also has also just about unwound its overextension relative to the trend mean. It is now back above the psychological 6,000 level, which represented the low in early 2019. It's going to have to do more than that. It will have to push back above the trend mean in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, but I think that it is quite likely that will be the case. The Indian market remains weak. They are still seeing rising number of cases, and there is the potential that we're going to see some additional back and forth trading until they finally get a handle on their outbreak. But with data improving, there is less likelihood of significant deaths, particularly from the younger, healthier portion of the population. Obviously, the coronavirus is new. It's something that we all have to get used to. But it needn't necessarily represent the kind of deleterious effect on the global economy that everyone had been assuming it would have. The big question, therefore, is what is going to happen in terms of the monetary and fiscal response of governments once that fact has been processed. The reality is that it has probably accelerated the default wave that was looking likely last year. But high yield bonds were in positive territory in here today. And I think that's something that is quite important, that we are seeing a number of bankruptcies occur, and not only in the energy sector, but also the bankruptcy of Hertz, for example, has been a significant event, and yet high yield bonds continue to compress, not least because the Federal Reserve is actively supporting the market. But nonetheless, we are going to have a wave of defaults. There was already pressure on the high yield auto sector before this crisis. There was already issues with rising credit card delinquencies before the crisis. So it's not like we weren't already late in the cycle. What has really, I think, occurred as a result of the coronavirus has been an acceleration in these types of credit events. Then the market response, particularly the response from central banks, has also been an accelerated move. We are still going to see some companies simply not open back up. We are almost certainly going to see a significant transition. We are looking at a history, I think a future where anyone who wants to work from home will be afforded that opportunity, particularly for the service sector. Obviously, it's very hard to work from home if you're in the retail sector or in the restaurants sector. It's going to take time for people to get confidence back and I think have a willingness to go out and frequent crowded venues like restaurants and stadiums, but it will eventually happen. And I think that is something that is increasingly being priced into markets. I think we're likely to see a consolidation before long because there are both positives and negatives to this improving data on the coronavirus. And when we eventually start to see some consolidation coming through, then the big question is where will new liquidity come from? We've had a massive monetary and fiscal response. The next question is what will be next, and how long will it take for governments to alter their willingness to continue to spend? There is the clear potential that as news gets better, government bond yields will start to back up because big questions are going to be asked about how the bills are eventually going to be paid. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.